Well, the first thing I did when I found out that Pastor Robert wanted me to preach is I went to the cafe and told him what was going to happen. All right? Because they're used to us getting there a little later than everybody else. And so I immediately went and told Tacy, I said, "You got a problem." And she said, "What?" And I said, "Well, you'll see Sunday." So they're ready for it. And they are ready. Pastor Robert went and did a men's meeting down at Bethany, and I believe he's preaching there this morning, and he'll be heading back, so pray for him. Because I believe the last time he was down there, they almost arrested him for drug running. Y'all remember that? Somebody went in there and squirted some liquid marijuana on his Suburban right before he went through the checkpoint, so that the car, evidently it was the car behind him, had done it. He stopped at convenience store, right? At a gas station convenience store, and evidently someone slipped up there and squirted some liquid marijuana on the church Suburban, and then followed him through after they had him over there spread eagle tearing his car apart. So pray for him this time so that he gets down there and gets back with no trouble. I told him, now, wouldn't that be something? Local pastor in jail. But they finally figured out what happened and let him go and everything, so that's good. So get your Bibles out. We are, you know, Pastor Robert has started this deal with a culture of prayer. Y'all been here for the last month or so that this church is we're gonna develop a culture of prayer, and we're gonna do that at the end. But I want to go over something first before we pray for everybody, and Frankie will bring up the prayer team probably, and then. And then we may do something a little different, but we'll get to that at the end. So go to chapter 12. I've got 10 chapters to go over, and believe me, I can get this done very quickly. This isn't going to take long. 2 points, 10 chapters, but I believe if you'll listen, this will help you. It'll help you with... I've told this story before, one of the last times I preached, but I've got a little different slant on it at the end. But go to chapter 12. First, I want to read one scripture in chapter 11 there. It says verse 30, Genesis 11, chapter 30. Said, "But Sarah was barren, she had no child." You got to understand that when we read that, we're seeing this. Everybody heard the term 2020 is, you know, hindsight's 2020. We're looking back on this, seeing that Sarah was barren during this story. Everybody know the story, or we'll go over it, that Abraham and Sarah were trying to have kids, and they couldn't have kids. And the Bible says that Sarah was barren. But we know that. But while they were walking through this, she didn't know that. And he didn't know that. Does that make sense to everybody? It's like, you know, if someone was to tell your story 100 years from now, they could tell your whole story and know what happened at different parts in your life, but you're walking through it now. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Well, Sarah didn't know she was barren. All she knew during this story was her and Abraham could not have children. Okay? So that's the backdrop. So, chapter 12. And I'm just going to skip through this, so you might have a hard time keeping up on the screen back over there, so... It says, "Now the Lord said to Abram, 'Get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed.'" Verse 7. Then the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, "To your descendants I will give this land." Now, isn't that kind of an odd thing to say to a man? "To your descendants, I will give this land," to a man who has no children. Is that odd? So what is he doing? What's God doing? God has got to be preparing them that, look, I'm going to have to move in your life. How many of y'all know that God needs to move in your life? We all need God moving in our lives. Keep going. Let's go down to... chapter 13. Then Abraham went up from Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him, to the south. Abraham was very rich in livestock and silver and gold. He went on this journey from the south as far as Bethel to the place where his tent had been at the beginning between Bethel and Ai. Then look down there at 11. Then Lot chose for himself all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east. This is when they needed to separate. They had too much stuff. They had too much cattle. They had too much everything. The cows were eating all the grass. Sheep were eating everything. So they decided, hey, we need to separate. Lot and Abraham, who was Abraham's nephew, they needed to separate and go their separate ways. So Abraham looked at Lot and said, look, we're in this place right here. You choose. If you go that way, I'll go that way. So Lot chose for himself all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated from each other. Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities that the plain, and pitched his tent even as far as Sodom. But when the men of Sodom were exceedingly wicked and sinful against the Lord, in verse 14, and the Lord said to Abram, after Lot had separated from him, lift your eyes up now from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, and westward. For all the land which you see, I give to you and your descendants forever. He's met with God two times now, and what's God told him both times? To your descendants, I'm going to give all this. That's a little odd to a man who has no children, correct? But he's met with him twice. Each time he's told him that. Now, verse 14 is when Lot was taken captive. The bunch of kings got together. They decided they were going to start fighting. Lot got caught up in the middle of it. He was taken captive. Abraham, which I really like about this guy, didn't just get down on his knees and have a prayer meeting and say, God bless you. I hope you make it through it. He got 318 of his own servants, armed them, and went out and took him back. Had a little action to what he believed, right? All right. It goes on. Verse 15. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I'm your shield, your exceeding great reward. But Abram said, Lord God, what is it that you give me, seeing I go childless, and the heir of my house is Eleazar of Damascus? Third time God meets with him, Abraham kind of says, "Hank, okay, God, wait a minute. You've been talking to me about all these descendants things, but I got a problem. And my problem is, we got no kids. So if you're going to tell me about these kids, you're going to have to give me some information here. If God told you everything that was going to happen in your life yesterday, do you think it would be helpful or not? I think it would be helpful sometimes, but the reality is it probably wouldn't. The reality of everything. My personality wants the information, and it would probably just short-circuit everything. But he says, Abraham stops God basically and says, God, look, I'm sure you understand this, but I've got no kids. Then Abram said, look, you have given me no offspring, indeed one born in my house. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him saying, this one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir. Then he brought him outside and said, look now toward heaven and count the stars if you're able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. And this is number one point. When you hang out with God, you get direction for your life. If you're not hanging out with God, you got no direction. You've got to have direction. You don't have to have direction. That's a misnomer. You don't have to have direction for your life. You can walk through life and never have direction. And millions of people are doing it. But if you want to live the way God wants you to live, if you want to fulfill whatever it is on this earth that God has called you to do, you must have direction from Him. And the only way to do that is to hang out with God. Now, hang out with God. It means something totally different for me than it does you, probably. See, Tracy and I started going, I got out of the military in 1989. We came back, I believe God said, go back to Utopia. So we went back, came back here. We started going to this church, got into what was known then as a charismatic circle, you know, charismatic teaching. And I always felt about half guilty on some things. And I finally, just now, 25 years later, figured out why. And it's helped me tremendously. Actually, I don't know where she went. She's running around here somewhere. She's a butterfly. She just kind of lights different places. But it has helped me immensely understand me. And if you can understand you, then you'll have a better chance of letting God minister to you. Because back when we first came back to Utopia, there was this thing going about, and I don't remember who did. Who did the Can You Tarry 1 hour thing? Who? Larry Lee. Tarry 1 hour. Great thing. I can't spend 5 minutes without some shiny thing going by, and I'm chasing it. And so that was a problem for me. So if you tell me, hey, let's go out there and tarry 1 hour, I'm like, oh, my God. It just short-circuits my brain. And let me ask y'all a question. How many of y'all in here have ever taken the DISC personality profile? How many of you have taken it? All right, hands down. How many have not taken it? You need to. You need to take this thing. Because in this thing, what it showed me was that God made me a specific way. And now there's things in life that tend to move you this way or to move you that way, but by and large, that God made me a specific way. And I don't know if y'all have realized it or not, I am not a very relational person. Has any y'all noticed that? Okay. So that comes to no surprise to you. Well, you take a not relational person and try to put them in a relationship with somebody, there's automatically a conflict. Is that not true? Have a relationship with a God you can't see as a non-relational person and see where you're at. So see, you can see this conflict. And I'm telling you this because you need to figure out how God speaks to you. And it's not some patent way. It's not, you're not going to hear God exactly the same way somebody else is going to hear God. And I had to learn this over years. And, you know, they said, talk about tarry an hour. So I tried that. Well, that didn't work because 5 minutes later, I'm off chasing shiny things. You know, so in the DISC personality program or profile, there's typically four different personalities. There's two task-oriented and two relationship-oriented personalities, and you're a mixture of all four of them of some kind. Well, come to find out, I am totally off, almost off the scale on the task-oriented and totally off the scale on the other end, on the bottom end, on the relationship-oriented side. So now I've got this problem. I'm supposed to have a relationship with a God that I don't know how to have a relationship because I can barely have a relationship with a wife that I've been married with for 30 years. So we're still trying to figure this out because she's totally relational. Do you see butterfly floating around, you know? So in this directions for your life comes through hanging out with God. I figured out how to hang out with God. And you need to figure out how to hang out with God. Because in that hanging out with God is where you're going to get your direction. That's where you're going to get the important things in life of which way do I go. I've heard some really, really important things from God in 5 minutes. That's typically how much time I have to hang out before I go floating off somewhere else doing something. But if you do 5 minutes, you know, 10 or 12 times a day, you've got your hour or however long. I mean, there's no set time. But short little periods of time, I found out that, hey, God, what's going on? You have any direction for me today? And I've heard stuff like, do you want to be out of the will of God in a minefield? When I was thinking about going back to Kuwait or going to Kuwait. heard stuff like, you need to get out of the military. He said, when you get out of the military, you need to go back to Utopia. You need to support Robert and Laura with the work in Utopia. Those type things in 5 minutes. And they've framed our lives. But it only took 5 minutes. You may be a relational person, and you may be able to sit there for hours and let God love on you. And that's just you. So do that. Let God talk to you in those ways. But I encourage everybody, you need to find out how it is God talks to you, whatever it is. And don't try to get stuck in this box if you've got to do it this way or you got to do it that way. Because God wants to lead you, and He wants to direct you, and He wants to guide you in life to where you need to be. I've heard stuff in 5 minutes like, you need to build mini storages in Utopia. How much sense does that make? Doesn't make none, but I'm glad I did. You see, it doesn't take long. Well, it doesn't take long for me. Like I said, you may be a totally different species. The guy who first originally gave me that disc program, I think it was Philip. Was it Philip or Ken? Philip? It was Philip. He took my profile, and he's sitting there across the desk, and he pushed it back, and he pushed his chair back, and he said, you're the only one that's ever tested out like that I know of that was not in jail for murder. Well, thank you. That bad, huh? That bad. But God, I mean, I'm telling you, God can do amazing things. Not that I hadn't thought about it, but can do amazing things. Get direction. That's number one. Direction for your life comes from hanging out with God. You need to hang out with God. Abraham was hanging out with God and got direction in his life. So the last thing he said was, this one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your body shall be your heir. Now we go on to chapter 16. Now Sarah, Abram's wife, had borne him no children. We've already discussed that we know she's barren. She doesn't know. Is that correct? Everybody realize that. At this point, she does not know she's barren. There's no fertility test she can go take. All that she knows is they're not getting pregnant. She's not getting pregnant. Okay? Now, could be Abraham, right? Abraham may not be able to have children, or Sarah may not be able to have children, or both of them. So Sarah, I believe, now this does not change what I'm going to say at the end. It does not change the direction that we'll get to in the end. But I believe Sarah at this point says, you know what? God's been speaking to you, Abraham. She's thinking this. She wouldn't have told him, I don't think, but she's saying, God has been speaking to Abraham about all these descendants, and the only reason he's speaking to Abraham about all these descendants is because he's probably the one who can't have kids. And God's trying to encourage him so that he'll believe God, believe him that he can have kids, and then I'll get pregnant. So the only way to prove that is chapter 16. Now Sarah, Abram's wife, had borne him no children, and she had an Egyptian maidservant whose name was Hagar. So Sarah said to Abram, see now, the Lord has restrained me from bearing children. Please go into my maid. Perhaps I shall obtain children by her. And Abraham heeded the voice of Sarah. That's dumb on both parts right there. So he went into Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress became despised in her eyes. All of a sudden, Sarah is now confronted with the miracle that they need. She needs it. Is that right? All of a sudden, it's been proven that Abraham can have kids, and Sarah is the one who cannot have kids. So the miracle, Sarah needs the miracle. Before, see, you may need healing from God, you may need a miracle from God, you may need all kinds of things from God, but you really got to take responsibility and say, you need it. It's not anybody else's fault. You're in the position, we are all in the positions we are because of decisions we have made in life. So we got to quit saying, well, if I wouldn't have been raised by those parents, or if I wouldn't have this, or if I wouldn't have that, or if I'd have been born rich, or if I'd have been born whatever, things would have been better. No. See, it's right down in here on the inside. You're the one that needs the healing or the miracle, or I'm the one that needs the healing or the miracle. And as individuals, we need to take responsibility and say, okay, God, you got to work with me. Me and you need to sit down, and you need to instruct me on what I need to do. Look at chapter 17. Now when Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me blameless. And I will make my covenant between me and you, and I will multiply you exceedingly. As far as Abraham is concerned, that covenant's fulfilled. Not yet has anybody said really that him and Sarah are going to have children. God just told him one from your body. And so he thinks it's done. It's a done deal. God is going to take Ishmael and make this mighty nation of him. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but you shall be called Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and the king shall come from you. And I will establish my covenant. And he goes on and talks about the covenant. Then look down at verse 15, chapter 17, verse 15. Then God said to Abram, as for Sarah, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name, and I will bless her and also give you a son by her. Then I will bless her, and she shall be called a mother of nations. Kings of peoples shall be from her. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed. The man's 100 years old, and she's 90. And it's not like they lived to 900 like Methuselah. He died at what, 120? So like he's 80, and so 90 or 100 years old, and it's either laugh or cry, folks, if God tells you something like that. If my wife came to me right now and said, honey, I'm pregnant, it's either laugh or cry. I mean, you'd have to see the good in it, I guess, but good Lord. That would be a shock. You're not, right? Perfect. I mean, just think what I couldn't even imagine. He's... All right, where was I? Oh, then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old, and shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear children? And Abraham said to God, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. Then God said, no, Sarah, your wife, will bear you a son. And you shall call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his descendants after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard you, and he talks about that. Verse 21, my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah shall bear to you at this set time next year. Then he finished talking with him, and God went up from Abraham. So Abraham took Ishmael. Then it talks about circumcision, talks about the covenant. And look at chapter 18. So now there's not a whole lot of time going on, but now Abraham's going home and has to break this news to Sarah. Honey, God says, me and you are going to have a kid. And she probably looked at him just like y'all are looking at me. Like, really? Now we're going to have a kid. How many of y'all, your grandmother ever told you what the Word of God said? Or your mother? Or your father? Or a friend? Or anything? Ever said, did you know that the Word says this? How many of that's ever happened to you? That somebody else has ever told you that this is what may be what the Word of God says? Is that different from God telling you the promise? But one of them is, there's words called logos and words called rhema. And one of them is just that you heard it, and one of them is you really heard it. That it was really spoken to you. And right now, Sarah is going on what we call logos, just the spoken word. It's been spoken to her, and she's like, okay, yeah, that's right. Yeah, I hear that. But keep going. Chapter 18. Then the Lord appeared to him by the terebinth tree of Mamre, and he was sitting in the tent door in the heat of the day. So he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, three men were standing by him. And when he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the ground. So who's fixing to talk with him? What's the very first chapter say? First, the Lord. Okay? And said, "My Lord, if I have now found favor in your sight, do not pass by your servant. Please let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will bring a morsel of bread that you may refresh your hearts. After that, you may pass by. Inasmuch as you have come to your servant," they said, "do as you have said." So Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah and said, "Quickly make ready 3 measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes." And Abraham ran to the herd. He's 100 years old, remember. Took a tender and good calf, gave it to a young man, and he hastened to prepare it. So he took butter and milk and the calf, which he had prepared, and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree as they ate. Then he said to him, "Where is Sarah, your wife?" Who's speaking? The Lord says, "Where is Sarah?" So he said, "Here in the tent." Look at verse 10. And he said, "I will certainly return to you according to the time of life, and behold, Sarah your wife shall have a son." Sarah was listening in the tent door, which was behind him. Said Sarah was listening. It's the first time that we can find anywhere in that whole story that Sarah heard God say, she's going to have a child. She had been told they were going to have children. Abraham had said, "Look, we're going to have kids. Hang on there, don't worry." But 23 or 4 years have gone by from the time this whole ordeal started until now, and when she heard God herself is when the miracle came. And that's the second point and last. Battles in life are fought with the promises spoken to you. We all have battles. Folks, everybody goes through battles, whatever it may be. Financial, sickness, name your plight, whatever it is. But that battle is fought by the spoken word of God to you. And I'm not talking about just a word that you found in the Bible and you've been repeating. That's good. You're on your way. I'm talking about when that, what we call the rhema word that has jumped off the page and it is in your heart, and you go, "You know what? God Himself spoke this to me." And that is what you hang on to. That is the only thing you hang on to. And here in a little bit, when we come up here and get the prayer team up and pray for different things, And anybody who is fighting sickness or anything, we want to pray for you. But my question to you is this: what are you hanging on to? When you come up here, under what authority are you coming up here to have somebody pray for you? Because if you're just hoping that somebody's going to lay hands on you and then, okay, sirrah, let's see what happens, then that's not God working in your life. You need, you take the promise, whatever it is, go find it in the Word, meditate on it, spend those 5 minutes a day or 5 hours a day or whatever it takes for your type of personality to let God speak to you. And that's what you come armed with when you're asking for prayer. Because then when times get rough, when people are telling you, what are you doing? I can't believe you're believing for that. Then you don't have to rely on anybody else. You can rely on what God spoke to you. And that's what Sarah could do. I think the thing that confirmed it is, y'all know, if you're younger than I am, you probably don't know what number 1s, 1.25s, 1.5s, 1.75s, you don't know all that stuff. But 1.0s are not near enough anymore. Yeah, I don't know what these are, but they're about right. Look at the rest of verse 12. After I have grown old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord, being also old also. Then the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I surely bear a child? You remember Abraham laughed too. They both laughed. They're both like, really? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you according to the time of life, and Sarah will have a son. But Sarah denied it, saying, I didn't laugh, for she was afraid. And the Lord looked back at her and said, no, but you did laugh. And I think right there confirmed that, because it said she laughed within herself, right? She didn't laugh out loud. She laughed within herself. And the Lord read her mail and said, no, but you did laugh. So when times got rough and she was sitting there going, is this really going to happen? She could look back and go, yeah, God knows exactly what's happening. Because he saw me laughing when I really wasn't laughing. Last script, or next to last. Go to chapter 21. And this is what I want to say before we come up here for prayer. If you don't have that word that you can hang on to, well, let's come up here and let's believe God with you that you can find it. That the Lord will speak to you. That you'll have whatever that word is that you need to get through whatever battle it is that you're facing. You say, I don't know, I never have done that. If you're saved, you've done that. If you're saved, remember how God dealt with you when you were getting saved, that you needed to be saved. That's the same God will speak to you in the same way about everything else in life. Chapter 21, verse 1. And the Lord visited Sarah, as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had spoken. The Lord will do for you as he had spoken, but you've got to hear it. You can't hear it from me. You can't hear it. I mean, you can hear it from preaching. It can be heard from preaching. But still, it's got to be accepted by you. You're the one that's got to accept it and go, you know what, God? You really spoke to me. You really said that. Folks, that's how we got to live. Close your Bible. What we want to do is, Frank, you have a prayer team? I'm gonna dismiss, but want the prayer team to come up. And what I'd like to do is have prayer team on that side some and a prayer team on this side. And anybody who has need of prayer other than sickness, go to one of the prayer team people. But anybody who's fighting sickness and you want agreement on sickness, I want you to come over here to the front, and my wife and I want to pray for you. And what I really want to do is I want to encourage you to find that word, to let God spend some time, let God speak to you, and let him confirm his word to you about whatever it is you're going through. I do that. I typically hear God in two places. In my truck when I turn the radio off, just going down the road and go, I just turn the radio off. God, what is it you got to say? And in the shower. That's the two places. Tracy's like, you just took a shower a while ago. I said, yeah, but I need to go back and take another one. I don't have a clue what I'm going to say. One of them type deals. So let me dismiss. Everybody stand up. We have any other thing else? We've got a Robert's coming home, so y'all be in prayer for him. He don't get arrested for drugs. Prayer team, come on up. And like I said, if you need anything other than praying for sickness, go to one of these. But if you want to believe on sickness, come up here, and Tracy and I want to pray for you. So, Father, I just thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you for the simplicity of of how easy you made this, and Lord, and we just repent for how hard we try to make it. So, Lord, I just ask that you bless each and every person, Lord, that comes through these doors, that as we leave this place, that your word is revealed to us in ways that we can apply it to our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.